to be doing the recording of the Adelaide Plains chapter and verse podcast. And I'm here, I am the president of Adelaide Plains Poets, and to my left we have
Michelle, who is an avid member when she turns up for the Adelaide Plains
Michelle is always at these podcasts because we're at her place. And across me we have
Jeanette,
secretary and awesome person, thank you. And newer member.
Marie
Votto, thank
Fresh
you.
Fresh blood.
And I like that. Adelaide Plains chapter and verse news. So the news,
We just did a workshop. We're having workshops again.
That's right, and that was awesome with our very special guest,
Martin Christmas.
And we're getting ready for our next one, which is Sunday week, which would be gorgeous. Yeah.
So who's the guest for Sunday week?
John Malone is our guest.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yes, he's excellent.
Former high school teacher, lovely man.
Mm.
Retired, but still writing lots and lots of things.
Right.
Anything else, anybody?
Okay, I've got literary news. So there's been a lot of books published lately, and this is very, very subjective to that trick my interest. One I'm very excited about, and that's called Prancy by Susanna Clarke, who wrote Jonathan Strange and Mr. Noel, which is a favourite novel of mine. The other one I'm vaguely interested in is called Mayflies by Anthony O'Hagan, and that's because he comes from Ayrshire in Scotland. So the book lit shortlist has been announced, and it's very, very interesting. It's very multicultural this year.
I saw that and I thought, I don't know any of those people, of those two. I don't personally know any, certainly, but I don't.
No, there's none I know of either. But I'll read the list out. A Shadow King, and I am going to apologise in advance that I have Google these names and couldn't find any guide on pronunciation, so I'm guessing the pronunciations. A Shadow King, Maza Mengisti, Shuggy Bane, a novel, Douglas Stewart, The New Wilderness, Dinah Crook, Burnt Sugar, Annie Dashi, Real Life, Brandon Taylor, and The Mountable Body, a novel by Tsitsi Dagarembaya. So I'm guessing on that last one. The last one
I think that was perfect.
I read up on it last night, and it sounds really, really interesting reading up on it. She's an amazing writer from Zimbabwe. I've got a few other odd little news item I thought was of interest. It is now 50 years since the publication of the first Red Press novel, which was Bomber by Len Deighton. Notable births in September. There's a huge list. I'm just going to run through them and not worry about dates.
And this Happy Christmas, or almost nine months
before Christmas.
Yes. Leo Tolstoy, D.H. Lawrence, Roald Dahl, Agatha Christie, George R.R. Martin, H.G. Wells, Stephen King, F. Scott Fitzgerald, William Faulkner, and T.S. Eliot.
Oh, wow.
And Less Deaths, J.R.R. Tolkien, Mary Wollstonecraft and Wilkie Collins. So that's it for literary news. So we'll move on to
poet and writer discussion.
Emily of New Moon by Ellen. And that's caught me out, because if I knew all my authors properly, I would know that it's Ellen Montgomery.
Okay, Golden Child by Claire Adam. I like the name.
Mm. Yeah. Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood.
So Long, See You Tomorrow by William Maxwell.
Swami and Friends, R.K.
Narayan.
Thank you.
The Country Girls by Edna O'Brien.
Oh, the Harry Potter series by J.K. Rowling.
The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton.
The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13 and a half, Sue Townsend.
I love that book.
Three quarters, sorry.
It's my mistake.
An awesome book. Very funny. And the last one is The Twilight Saga by Stephanie Meyer.
That's interesting, that's up there.
Yeah, I can see why it did have influence. It's not necessarily the best book, so it's about influence and popularity. And I guess it did, definitely. So I've got my mother's copy of Emily of New Moon.
I loved The Anne of Green Gables and Ellen Montgomery. Yeah. I loved it.
I did, but I felt very pushed to read it. It was my mother's values being instilled into me through those books, so I kind of turned me off them a bit as I got a bit older.
I loved it. Never heard of Country Girls.
Very 60s, 70s style.
Yes.
Irish, Edna O'Brien, and that was the book that made her famous. Lovely book. Really, not lovely is not the right word, is it? It's
I really enjoyed it and felt a lot of things. And I loved the way that she described a lot of the scenery and nature and her use of short sentences to sort of emphasise things. And I could really feel how, like, the two girls felt.
Yes.
And their relationship was interesting. They're kind of frenemies. They're friends, but they're one's manipulating the other at times. And, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I really got a lot out of it. Yeah.
Actually, the book that surprised me in this, I was reading up on them last night, was The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton. We read, that was Then, This Is Now, by S.E. Hinton in second form high school and had an amazing teacher. I absolutely despised it. I hated that more than any other book I think I've ever read. Partly, mainly because of the subject matter, the street gangs of America, its American culture. It was totally outside relevance to me growing up in Australia, my world. But what really shocked me when I read up about S.E. Hinton today, and I had no clue, was S.E. Hinton is female.
Oh, interesting.
It was a guy.
Interesting.
Ever mentioned when we read that book in high school English that she was female? Right. The Outsiders, she wrote when she was 16 years old.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. Actually, really impressed now I've read up on her. Still wouldn't make me like the book because it's just subject matter.
It doesn't add any frisson of anything that is written by a woman? No, nothing.
Nothing. Well, not to me as a teenager. I had no idea. Male protagonists, male characters, they're much a male gang world. And that gang violence that she was writing about.
No, I knew The Outsiders was written when she was 16, because that was pretty amazing.
It is.
Mm. I liked it. Movie. I mean, The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole.
Oh, so cute.
I always remember my friend Karen reading it and just crying with laughter, tears of laughter.
But she just got it.
She just got it. But you know what I think I loved about it is there's always so many angst-ridden books about adolescence, and this was such a delightful thing about just reminding us that, you know,
you too,
there's ridiculousness of it. Mm. You know, you're caught up in it, but at times, and I think sometimes we forget that to kind of laugh, and we can laugh and look back now, I suppose, and go, oh, gosh, remember when, and, oh, you know.
No.
Yeah, just sort of, I think sometimes it's really helpful to just have a different perspective where you can just kind of look at some of the ridiculousness of adolescence and laugh. I think there was even a song written, wasn't there, with The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, for the girl called
I don't remember
Miranda.
That song, but yeah.
I'm positive there was some song written about it which was hysterical. So, you know, that gorgeous angst love that you have when you're a teenager and it's so painful and you look back and you think, oh, my God. Gosh, and it was sort of really funny.
I can still remember the number plate of this guy's mother's car.
Stalker.
I was like, I don't know, 14 and he was 16 and he used to drive the car.
And that's what I loved about The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole. It really encapsulated that delightful painfulness of growing up, but in a beautiful way, and then where he thought that, you know, if he just got older it would get better. And I think there's even a book written about him as an adult, where he's an adult.
Fun.
And you know, and he realizes that being an adult's also good at so angst ridden stuff. And so yeah, I love that. And the Harry Potter series, I mean,
it's impossible not to love them, isn't it?
But I think separating the author from the book is really important in that situation. But yeah, the Harry Potter books, the message was lovely.
It's one of tolerance and acceptance and anti-bullying, which is wonderful. I think any
friendship, huge thing about, and also about belonging. I mean, when you think about Ron's parents embracing Harry Potter and
family. That's gorgeous.
His mum, you know, his mum having what? How many children did she have? Five. That she genuinely had room in her heart.
Yes.
For one more, you know, whereas the Dursleys couldn't stand him. I think that was actually a beautiful message for children who perhaps aren't raised in traditional homes to realise that when a mother says they love you, they actually really mean it. Mothers have room. It's part of our wonderful capacity to love one more. We never seem to lose that. Yeah.
A lovely message about the not cool kids.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to see.
Interestingly enough, what I loved about the Harry Potter books is I tend to not immediately take on what's called popular literature because I sort of think, oh, that's great, but, you know, I want to have my own opinion. But I was teaching in a school once, and the teacher asked me to mark some work as a relief teacher. And I was reading it, and one of the boys had written, "I used to hate reading, and then I discovered Harry Potter."
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And I thought, well, I now need to find out what is about this book that can encourage children to read. And I was utterly hooked. And then I got the CDs from the Gorling Library where Stephen Fry reads them. And I would put them on, classes perhaps a bit challenging, and they would just sit there enthralled by the Harry Potters. And so I love that. I love any book
if he was
50
reading,
Shades of Grey that can encourage people to read.
If Stephen Fry was reading 50 Shades of Grey, would that change things?
No. He would lose all credibility in my eyes.
Every secondhand bookshop, every op shop you go to, they've always got the full series of 50 Shades of Grey.
Rolf Harris Records. And
I've seen the 50 Shades of Grey on the free giveaway, please take sort of pile outside.
I think they've outlived their popularity.
If you've got a fire, it'd be great to get your fire going.
Yeah, it's a fire going, but we shouldn't be rude because people do love it. I think that was the thing with the Harry Potter. That's what I loved about it, that it encouraged, anything that encourages kids to read, I think is fabulous. Mm. Yes. So yeah, the others I'm not hugely familiar with.
Margaret Atwood, of course, is Orcs and Crank, I don't know, but it's another dystopian future novel dealing with genetic engineering.
She's got a new, she doesn't call it science fiction, she calls it
alternate reality.
Alternate reality or future reality, because it could come true, which I think is fabulous.
Who's into that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yes, we'll move on.
Writer's tip. I can't remember what I said it was going to be, but meet as much writing as you can in your genre, which I think is a good one for me, but that wasn't what it was it?
No, it was about what you're passionate.
Yeah,
passionate about.
If, however, your first one, Stephen King, and he talks about if you are not prepared to read prolifically, do not think you can write prolifically. In 3 hours. So he sets time aside to read for work, and then he sets time aside to read. Great.
And he doesn't see mail and doesn't have a family.
No,
he does, but he's very rich and probably can't afford everything. He points out, I don't think it's whether he's male or female, but I think he points out that people will sit in front of a brain-numbing TV show that they're not particularly interested in.
Don't do that.
No, but you're different. Yeah. You're very special.
Yeah.
In a good way. I found what it was. I'll try again. Write what you're personally passionate about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I find. I can't write if I'm not passionate about it.
Like, what's the point?
Yes, yeah. If you're not...
I don't know. You should see me on a work report.
All right, now... So, now on to the word
of the day. Now the word of... Go. Word of the day, word of the day, word of the day.
Okay, really love this one. Crizziness. And it means eccentric or unusual.
Oh.
I was quite taken with that word. Especially as I'm eccentric or unusual, so...
No, you're...
You had to describe myself.
I think we all are. If we're here writing, we're writers. And you're living in a little place like Gawler or nearby, and you've got a little group who meet and talk about these things, and nothing about how to make lots and lots of money or anything like that.
Unless it's in writing and it's relevant to the novel.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, readings. Now we're going to read something.
Well, we're talking about things that you're passionate about. I love writing about the garden, but I tend to love writing about the philosophy of the garden, and I love writing as the green goddess for the Malala Chronicles. This is called Time and Time, the Perfect Garden Companions. So the green goddess has taken on a delightful new backyard greening project, the creation of a wildlife corridor using indigenous plants. Never before have I had such instantaneous success or experienced such a sense of gardening satisfaction. I know the wildlife will love the plants as much as I do. But planning where to plant numerous tube stocks is not a simple task. Luckily, I was enthusiastically assisted by my 14-year-old niece, who then very generously saved her old aunt's back by doing the bulk of the planting while I plodded along adding markers and watering. A fine piece of gardening cooperation. While we planned and planted, we chatted about all the lovely things that teens will share with you if you just make time to be with them. We talked books and music and friends, both hers and mine. We discussed beliefs and spirituality and ethics, chewed the fat about philosophy and religion and sexuality. My nieces are my utter joy, and I'm privileged to spend lots of time with them. So to be able to create a long-term greening project with one of them, has been the pinnacle of Green Goddess happiness. Now, each time I wander past one of the plants, I think of the conversation that took place over it and smile. The Dianellas, carefully placed around the frog pond so the frogs would be able to hide safely, but where we could still see and hear them. The clumps of native grasses, where we discussed how embarrassed we both found it that it took so long for same-sex marriage to be legalised in Australia. Where we discussed the pros and cons of various religions while planting a saltbush hedge. And our favourite books, always a topic of pleasure, richly fed the six Banksias planted along the back fence. The plants have thrived, and I'm positive they were planted with love. Flowers are starting to bud, the frogs are croaking with a new sense of glee, and there is definitely an increase in the amount of insect life in the garden. All very important aspects of gardening, you'll agree. However, for me, the most important part of any garden is the memories we create with and for the people who will end up enjoying it. And for this reason, my greening wildlife corridor will always be my favourite part of the garden.
Lovely.
I had tears when I read that. I had tears in my eyes when I got that.
Lovely.
And it's just beautiful.
Thank you. And we're putting in the dry riverbed, of which Marie and I bought a lizard. Lizard to put in the garden. So, yes, that's lovely. A sculpture lizard, not a real lizard. We didn't wrestle a real lizard to the ground and wrestle it.
If you want a blue-tongued lizard, I could bring you one because we get them. And if you have it, Missy won't eat it or try to eat it.
We had plenty until we got Zaya. Okay, I'll read something from the gate just because it's coming of age as a theme. And this is actually not the main character. It's her sister talking and a bit of an aside. When Mum got sick and I took over her chores, becoming a housewife without a husband, I knew that my life was ended. Between now and my death, nothing would ever change. There would never be anything more than piles of dirty washing, the lunches to be cut and the vegetables to boil at night. Often, I looked out to the shimmering horizon and wondered what was beyond it. If only my soul could float out beyond the mirage, what mystical place could I find myself in? But the other world was beyond my sight and reach, and was as unreal as the shimmering sheet of glass upon the horizon. 3 times a day I prepared meals for Mum and took them into her on a tray lined with a white doily. She'd made me take that doily out of her old glory box where she had locked away all the pretty things she'd made for the future, a future she hadn't found. Did she still hope for a nice house where she could take out all those pretty knickknacks and live in elegance? Whenever I opened the box, a flood of buoyant hopes were released. When I touched the crocheted doilies and lace-edged linen, the dreams with which they had been wrought infected me. I began to imagine being mistress of a nice house on a quiet suburban street with pretty furnishings and fancy trimmings. My fantasies were vague, for I'd never ever seen such a house. I'd never seen a garden where roses and violets grew, or had I? There was a picture in my mind of a very green place, and there was a garden where rounded petaled balls of red and pink tossed against the sky, and there were little purple flowers like shadows of stars scattered along the ground. But I do not know if it was memory or fantasy. I began to feel old as Mum, for I'd taken over her life. The infants under my care seemed like my own offspring. It must have been apparent in my letters, for Mags jokingly began to call me Mother Babs in her correspondence. Sometimes I even felt that I wore the personality that Mum had shed. Perhaps I had become my chores. The work I did made me. Nobody ever gave me any choices, asked me what I wanted. My life was all decided for me.
Oh dear. Mm. That's sad. That reminds me of a blog post I posted today. It's about making the bed.
But anyway, Marie, what's your reading?
I didn't bring anything with me, but I could read my Purple Owl.
You can find that, and I can read something I've got. I'm actually writing a non-fiction book as well, because why not?
As well as a fiction.
It's called Life Is, with an ellipsis. Placed properly when one's space between them doesn't matter. I'm funny about ellipses. Right, obstacles, challenges. Obstacles get in your way while challenges help you to grow, and one person's obstacle can be another person's challenge. Our attitudes to things in our lives are what makes those things what they seem to be to us. And our attitudes change depending on how we're managing with our lives at any given time. Gender, class, race, health, relationships, these factors and more shape us all in various ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very profound.
Mm.
It's going to be a little book full of profundity. So we've got what's next. That's what I believe what happens when we die. What's next? Life purpose, relationship, change. There's some of the chapter headings.
Interesting. You're like a Malala oracle.
But if I wasn't doing that, I'd be writing this novel instead, which is what I'm actually meant to be doing.
So you'll do anything to avoid your novel.
Well, actually, perhaps that's the thing. Carolyn will produce a lots whole of heap things. Of different things while she's avoiding doing her novels. But maybe these other things are actually more...
I just like writing. I wrote that probably nearly a month ago, whereas my novel, I've written some of my novel yesterday, I wrote more of my novel, and I thought about lots more of my novel today. Right, who's next?
Okay.
You are.
This was about decluttering your home. One person's much-loved possessions would be clutter to someone else. In recent years, decluttering has become quite a fad, and some people have become famous writing, blogging, or making YouTube videos about the topic. However, during the pandemic, there are those who wish they hadn't done such a thorough job of getting rid of unused craft hobby supplies because they would have appreciated more activities while spending so much time at home. Some people are happy with just the bare minimum of items. Others love to have decorative items, lots of books and memorabilia around. Decluttering is a personal decision, whether to participate at all, and if you do, to what extent. Anyway, let's assume a degree of decluttering is good and will simplify life. Decluttering doesn't have to be done all at once. You could clean out one drawer or shelf at a time. Each decluttering session, choose just 5 items and decide to do with each one. Or you could declutter for 10 minutes each day. Some people prefer to spend several hours decluttering and then immediately donate unneeded items in good condition to family or friends. Do check that others want the items before handing over a large box of stuff. Mother.
Good point there, Marie. Very good point.
Now that most op shops are open again, an alternative is donating to a good cause. Donating tips. Make sure everything is clean and in good condition. Check what items are accepted. Electrical appliances often aren't. Leave items in the correct place. You may be required to hand your donations to someone in the shop, or you may be expected to leave them in a designated charity bin. Do not leave items outside such a bin because you could be fined for littering. Unwanted electrical or electronic items can be left at Bunnings at Gawler Green Shopping Centre for recycling. Parting with items you don't need and don't love can lessen stress and make your life easier.
I love decluttering.
Miss Cheryl wants to do my place. Yeah. And I'm in...
Carol won't let me
shudder, shudder with horror.
I like my clutter.
But I couldn't. A friend of mine asked me to help her, like, go through her wardrobe and decide what clothes to get rid of. And I helped, but I was really uncomfortable doing it because our tastes are so different. It's like, I don't want to go, oh my gosh, that's awful. Yes, get rid of it. Because it could well have been something that she lost.
Yes.
My
cousin sat on her bed while her other cousin cleaned out her wardrobe and would blow a whistle each time something had to go to Goodwill. It was fabulous. Like, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Something I want to do all on my own.
So just finish off
with the challenge.
Icons of Gawler, and I think given that the 25 years ago the Gumtree and Commercial Lane made news, and it's actually 25 years since the petition to save it, so I think we should make that this month's Icon of Gawler. Do the Gumtree and Commercial Lane, and I think that wraps it up.
Excellent.
Fabulous. Yes. What are we doing next month?
Next month is family and friendship. So lovely theme. Yep.
Perfect.
And some lovely books on that one too.
Cool, thank you very much.
Chuck the Hobbit into that one, that'd be nice.
Yes, well, is there
friendship?
Lord of the Rings about friendship too. That would fit into so many categories.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see you next month.
Okay, goodbye, it's been fun.
Bye.